If you do not know me, my name is Stu. And I am the young adults pastor here. And what has been shared, and in case you missed it last month when we had our first Friday at launch 19, I announced that as we do things in themes, that this is the year of awakening, practicing the ways of Jesus. And we're learning that together. And I unpacked really what that means from teaching from Revelation chapter 2, where John is writing a real letter to a real church, to a real group of people, where he explains to them that, and calls them back to their first love. And I think that's exactly where we are at as the Big C church in our culture, multiple churches, that we've wandered away and we need to be called back to Jesus to be our first love. And I said, if we are going to be awoken and experience the continuous renewal of Jesus in our lives through the Holy Spirit, then we need to remember, repent, and return to Jesus as our first love. And so, as already been stated, I'm going to kick off tonight in our new series within this theme of this year of going through spiritual habits by talking about silence and solitude. And so before I dive into it, I'm going to invite you to stand for the reading of the words. I'm going to invite Tim, who's going to read for us from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13.
All right. So Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." This is long. Just a second. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
Thank you, Tim. You guys can grab a seat. Now, it may take us a while, but we'll plant ourselves within Luke chapter 4. I want to tell you a story. Back when in 2006, when I was in Bible school in BC, we went down to Seattle to be able to do some intentional leadership training together with a group of 17 of us. And I was sent out to the University of Washington to be able to observe and to engage through natural conversations with those that were walking around on the campus. After spending the afternoon there, we gathered together later in the evening at the church that we're staying at to be able to debrief together. And the one thing that I had noticed, and remember this is 2006, is a year before the iPhone was released, the first smartphone. So just remember that. The thing that I observed, and we went back and debriefed, is that people were walking around with headphones in their ears. No joke, most people that I observed had headphones in their ears. And so they're walking around this beautiful campus, but all I could see is head down, headphones in, not looking at anyone, and just walking through the campus in that way. Now, like I said, this is pre-iPhone, but this is after the Walkman, if anyone is old enough to remember that. There was a time in our lives where people used to use MP3 players. And to be able to listen to music. So this is before podcasts or anything that people listen to now on their smartphones. The people just simply walking around with an MP3 player listening to their music. I remember getting back to the church at night and we're debriefing, and I felt quite defeated. And I felt quite like I've been a failure because I haven't been able to just to be able to strike up conversations naturally with people, because all I can see and observe is just people just had headphones in and they really was just saying, like, "I don't want to talk with you." It was like I hit a headphone wall in that way. But what made me intrigued at the end of the day, after I processed it all, because it takes me time, I'm a verbal processor, and it takes me time to think through stuff. At the end of the day, what I was most intrigued is that it wasn't just a rising norm for people, that it was actually an inner problem, something of a root within people of why they were actually closing themselves off from others and having the conversation. What I noticed back then in 2006 was that we want to control the voices that we listen to. Can I say that again? What I noticed back then, 13 years ago, by use of headphones, is I think that people want to control the voices that they are listening to. And I really don't think that much has changed since then. Maybe technology, not maybe, definitely technology has changed. But I think that we are still sitting in the same boat in 2019 as we were in 2006. But maybe there's just more voices now that we are listening to. I quoted last time when I was teaching and being able to just to declare what the year of awakening is. I quoted from Pastor Levi Lusco and I said, distraction is a full-time job. And I get to listen to a lot of other pastors and be able to hear what God is saying through other different people. And I listened to a sermon from Pastor Matt Chandler down in Texas in August. And he's actually took that a little bit step of a further and say that we are actually addicted to distraction. And I think we all actually are caught up in that problem. I don't think any one of us in this room, unless you're a hermit that lives out somewhere away from people, and if that's the case, then you probably wouldn't be here. I think we all fall into this category that we're all succumbing to this problem of distraction in our lives. Just to simply give an example of this, 88% of us here in North America dual screen. We use a second screen while we're using a first one. What I mean by that is that when you're watching TV or you go into the movie theater, whatever the case is, 88% of us are actually on a tablet or phone at the same time. Now, are we really watching that show or that movie if we're on a phone or a tablet at the same time? Probably not. And we're all in that problem. Just this week for me, the kids go to bed. I have a 7-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I just want to be able to at least chill without having to parent a kid or do anything along with that. And so Sarah and I try and watch one show before we go to bed every night, just 30 minutes, if possible. But what do we end up doing just this week before we go to bed? What are we doing? Scrolling, 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 swipe right, scroll, scroll, swipe right, scroll. Yeah, we're in our 30s, but we're still caught up in the same problems as everyone else in that way. It is not Tinder, don't worry. I'm happily married, thank you. The point is that we are all in the same boat. And I actually, if I evaluate my life, it's really difficult for me to actually just to sit and fix my eyes on a TV or on a movie. Actually, I haven't been to movies in 4 years, so I can't say that. I can't watch the TV without picking up my phone. And I feel that phantom buzz that is right next to me or in my pocket, and I think that I've got some kind of notification. And here's the problem in this. I turn off notifications on my phone. How wild is that my brain is so trained to think that there is something when there isn't. And there can't be anything because I turn it off. So 88% of us are just stuck in this dual screen watching. You probably heard it before. A goldfish span of attention is how many seconds? 9. Do you know how many seconds it is for a human to be able to withhold attention? 8.25. What's the conclusion? We are less smart than a goldfish. You know what? If we are going to become smarter than the goldfish again in 2019, going into 2020, what does it mean for us? If we're going to be able to get those brain smarts back again, we have to actually figure out what is causing the distraction in our lives and say no to it and put it away. since I have started to realize that distraction is a problem in my life, I come home, I put my phone on Do Not Disturb, and I put it away so we can actually enjoy a family meal together. Then I may check my phone again, and then when I go to bed, my phone is scheduled now, and it just goes on Do Not Disturb. And it won't actually show me the notifications when I wake up in the morning or the middle of the night until that Do Not Disturb is turned off. Smartphones are smart. And it's good because technology or the tech companies are realizing that there's actually a rise in anxiety and depression and other mental health things because we just feel this constant need to be distracted by a phone. So again, if we're going to actually get our attention span back again and raise our intelligence to be above a goldfish, then we actually have to figure out what is causing the distraction in our lives. And I want to be able to illustrate this. And so if 4 to 5 brave people want to come up here on stage, I want to be able to illustrate that. So why doesn't, come on, I'll just start calling. Come on, Brooke, let's go. All right, let's do this. Okay, that's 2 out of 4. People know math, need 2 or 3 more. Let's go. Come on. Thank you. 1 or 2 more. Don't be shy. Come on, Braden. Come on, girl. There you go. Thank you. Perfect. Okay, come on, girl. Okay, want you guys to huddle around me, okay? Just get tight, like you actually love. Let's love one another. Come on, girl. Okay, I'm gonna name you guys, okay? Brooke, you're a podcast. Ricky, you are YouTube. Sorry, I don't know your name. Steven, you are a friend. Gil, you are a parent. And Braden, you're a roommate, okay? And what I want you to do, actually, I want one more person. Delina, come up here. There we go. And you're going to be a singer. Okay, perfect. All right, there you go. That beautiful voice. Okay, what I want you to do is I've all given you titles. I want you to use that title and to say or to sing something all at the same time. Does that make sense? So if you're a YouTuber, you can just pretend that you got some great advice that you want to talk about. If you're a parent, just yell at me. Bring... You think that you got great advice because you're a roommate that knows everything and et cetera. In that way, podcast, you must have something good to say in that way. Okay? So does it make sense? I want you to say something all at the same time. And I'm going to say something too. So we have to get close. I'm not going to hold the mic to my mouth. I'm going to get close. I'm going to read something out. Everyone know what they're doing? Just speak loud, okay? Yeah. You just start speaking, okay?
Hey guys, welcome back to my vlog.
So today is
vlog number 360. I'm going to go to the grocery store. So we're going to go to Whole Foods and see what we can find there. Now, guys, remember to please click and subscribe, like my channel.
Okay, that's good. That's perfect. All right, you guys can have a seat. Give them a round of applause. How many of you heard anything I said? Probably not. This is our lives. We're hearing so many voices in our lives at once, and it's causing us to be distracted. And I actually think it is the major contributor to the rise of us experiencing anxiety in our lives. If we're going to kill distraction in us, it's not 100% about cutting out the number of voices that is speaking into lives, is more about silence and solitude consistently so we can actually hear the one voice that really matters most in our life, and that is the voice of God. And in that illustration, I was the voice of God, speaking words to myself. And here's the problem. All these other voices are so loud in our lives that we can't actually hear God's own voice to us. Words of kindness and truth and life are being drowned out by the other voices. Could be positive or they can be negative, but they are so loud that we can't actually hear God's voice for us. So my question to you right off the bat for you to start contemplating on, what are the top 3 voices that you're listening to? And what kind of influence do they have in your life? Silence and solitude is a practice that we can do to be able to silence the noises in our lives so that we can actually hear God's voice. And God has so much to say to us about that. So why don't you, I know it's a little risky in me saying this because you have to fight distraction, but if you have your phone, why don't you pull it out and go to your Bible app or to Google and go to Luke chapter 4, because that's where we're going to plant ourselves now, and I'm going to walk us through this. The context that we find ourselves here in Luke chapter 4 is that Jesus has just been baptized by John, or John the Baptist, as he's famously known. The Holy Spirit had fallen on him like a dove. And so he's modeling to us what it means to be human, that if Jesus needs the Spirit to come on him, we also need to be filled by the Spirit as well. And he's doing, and all this is happening before he starts his public ministry of preaching the gospel, of making disciples, healing, and miracles. And it actually says, as you read in those verses, that the Holy Spirit drives or leads Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days before he's tested by sin. Here's a spoiler alert for you if you haven't read ahead. Jesus is God, and he defeats Satan. The end. Or not quite. Two words that I want to be able to drive into us and be able to pick up on and explain to us for us to be able to have this understanding of what silence and solitude is to look like in our lives is found right there in verses 1. Led by, or depend upon your version that you have, driven. The word there that is translated from Greek into us for us English to be able to understand means to take one with, or to be led by accompanying, to move, or to bring to a point of destination. So what is being said as we read this passage, what do we want to understand from that? Is that the first action of the Holy Spirit with Jesus was to take him into the wilderness for a reason. So we got to ask to where, and what is that reason? Well, you got to look at the second word, wilderness. This word wilderness, even though we may think right away in our minds a place of desolation or dry or emptiness, actually has a deeper meaning and why they choose to use it to be able to describe and use wilderness rather than desert, because wilderness means a solitary place that also provides needed quiet. It's a place that is free from disturbance or interruption. So instead of reading this word and thinking desolation, barren, dry, boring, we need to start reading that it's actually a place for quietness, for rest, for silence and solitude. And so the Spirit leads Jesus into this place before he starts his public ministry and before he's tempted and tested by Satan. We need to be free from disturbance and distraction and other people's voices through questions and opinions in our life so that we can be alone with God. And Jesus models that for us, that he needed to go to that place away from people's opinions and go, now you should go do this. Or the questions that they have for him right off the bat. He needed to be free from disturbance and distraction and other people saying different things to him. He needed alone time with God the Father. So Jesus continues to model to us what it means to be human and what it means for the Christian life to be lived out in and through us. He models to us this up relationship that he has with the living God. He purposely removed himself to connect with God. During the 40 days that he was in the wilderness, he was in complete silence and solitude. And he did that in order to be able to strengthen him so that he could fast. Jesus drew strength from his closeness with the Father in these times. He was empowered to resist Satan's temptation of food, fame, and power. That was not possible without the 40 days before that, of being close next to the Father in his presence. In the book, Disciplines of the Holy Spirit, that I would recommend for you to have further reading around the subject, it is said, solitude is being alone in purposeful withdrawal from human interaction. It is a deliberate choice to be alone in order to draw closer to God by the power of the Holy Spirit, thereby freeing ourselves from bondage to people and things. Silence, the absence of speech or noise, is a crucial component of solitude. While not all silence is solitude, silence is always a part of solitude. Without solitude, it's virtually impossible to live a spiritual life, writes Henley Nouwen. Solitude and silence are so transforming because they are essential ingredients and helpful preparation for all the other spiritual habits. And it's common when it comes to fasting, as we are seeing right here in Luke chapter 4. Silence prepares us to hear the voice of God and to receive revelation and guidance from Him. We are caught up in the trap to believe that time alone means that we're actually lonely. That's simply a lie from the pit of hell. Satan wants us to believe that God isn't close and that He doesn't want to speak to us. Actually, on the flip side, God wants to spend quality one-on-one time with us. He wants to get rid of the noise in our lives and renew us. So step one in the renewal process that we are after is choosing to get away in our days, to have that silence and solitude, to be alone but not lonely with our God. We must not miss this either, that Jesus was able to combat the temptation of Satan and everything that he threw at him because he spent the 40 days alone in his Father's presence. Now I know exactly what I need to do to be able to fight against the temptation. Or now I know exactly why I succumb to temptation, because I'm not practicing these spiritual habits. I'm not practicing these spiritual habits that aren't getting me into the presence of God. If I want to fight the temptation in my life, then the answer is practice spiritual habits and to be in His presence. So my question to you, second question is, I'm curious, are you like me? Are you giving into temptation because you aren't having that quality time with God as well that we all need? I would like to submit that we are all distracted, and we've been distracted since before 2007. The research is crazy that that distraction has increased since the iPhone has been released. Since 2007, Facebook became open for everyone to use. The tech industry has boomed and so much more. We have so many apps on our phones and on our smartphones to be able to just distract us from days. That we not only just have smartphones in our lives, that we have laptops and tablets and smartwatches. And if only our smartwatches on our phones are waterproof. Oh wait, they are. So now there's not even moments in our life that we can remove ourselves from the one thing that constantly distracts us. We can't even have a bath or a shower without having a device that could distract us. What happened to a good old classic bath time of just you and the candles and the bubbles and some music in the background? Now everyone having baths and then they post about it is just watching Netflix while you're in the bath. If you're going to do that, then just sit on your couch or something and watch Netflix. We are so distracted. If we're going to fight this distraction, it's going to come through these spiritual habits. They call my daughter's generation, again, she's 7, almost 8, the glass generation, because they're raised on multiple screens. Even so, my son, 18 months, he knows how to swipe up on my phone and to get the camera on and to take pictures. 18 months, and he knows how to do that. My dad's 74, and you can't even teach him how to do that. But please hear me, I'm not anti-tech. I'm teaching from an iPad right here, so I'm clearly not anti-tech. All I'm submitting to us is that I think that we need to have boundaries when it comes to technology in our life, to be able to fight the fight of distraction in our lives, to be able to stand strong in the truth of who God is and go, I don't need this. I need God. I don't need more of technology. I need more of God in my life. And so I want to put up boundaries and so actually make the steps to be able to have that time of renewal with God. The minimalists who are on Instagram and they use blogs and books and podcasts and films to be able to talk and tell their story, they actually made a post last week and said, scrolling is the new smoking. It's exactly the same thing that I quoted before from Pastor Matt Chandler, that we're addicted to distraction. What does smoking mean? It means that you're addicted to that cigarette, to that nicotine. Scrolling has become that new smoking because we're addicted to it. So an opposite of that, silence and solitude actually prepares us to hear the voice of God. It actually allows us to grow in intimacy with God. It actually gives us the space for God to reveal his purposes for us in our lives. It actually allows us to be strengthened for the spiritual battle and temptation that is happening in our lives. And Jesus is our example for that. Again and again, he spent solitary time on the mountainside and in the wilderness before he just came on and did different things. Before he moved into a circumstance of healing or miracles or preaching or going to a new town, he was constantly on a mountainside or he's constantly in the wilderness. Constantly the disciples are saying, where is Jesus? And he had wandered away to get that alone time with God. He kept on going back to spend intentional time with the Father. In doing so, he modeled the way to us of how to be renewed and to be restored and to be refilled with power and how to receive instructions for our life and to live by faith. Jesus never fell into silence and solitude. He disciplined and prioritized himself there. Here's some quick examples for you in Luke 5:17. He had the power to heal the paralyzed man who was lowered to him through the roof when he was teaching. Because prior to that, he had spent a long time with God. Luke 6:12-16. He received the sermons before choosing his 12 disciples. Luke 9:10-17. Before one of the greatest miracles that ever was recorded in the Bible of feeding the 5,000, actually really 5,000 men plus women and kids, so maybe 12,000. Where was he? Off with the Father before he knew how to do that and when to do that. And before conquering temptation of what he was under in the Garden of Gethsemane, and before he was arrested and crucified, what was he doing? Praying and spending all night with the Father. And you could find that in Luke 22. If you went alone and read them all, you would constantly see that Jesus chose to intentionally put time in and have his off relationship with God experienced. If Jesus had to do that, how much more do you and I have to do that? For us, we will not fall into silence and solitude. We have to discipline and prioritize ourselves to get there. We are being called back to God to be our first love. But that will happen through slowing down and simplifying our lives, silencing the overloaded voices in our lives, by allowing the Spirit to lead and to drive us into the place of wilderness for us so that we can be freed from distraction and freed from interruptions, and so that we can actually sit in the presence of God and be renewed. If you are like me, you're probably asking, how do I do that? Because it's not enough just to read the Bible and to hear these words and go, oh, that was a great sermon. You've challenged me and I'm going to walk on out here and have some ice cream. We must have some action in our lives. So I just quickly want to submit to you possible steps that you could take. As hard as this difficult is for us and the wider range of personalities are in this room, that you can go from one scale of introvert to the other scale on the other side of extroverts, and I recognize that we're all different in this place, I wanted to simply just say to you, this is a possibility of actually how you could practice silence and solitude. For the extroverts, that you may need to create time because you're just simply so tired from people, and that you think actually you're going to be recharged through being more of an extrovert, but in fact, you actually need some silence and solitude to recharge. So for some of you, it actually may just take 5 minutes a day or 5 minutes every other day. And for others of you, you can actually spend longer because you're more introverted, and 30 to 60 minutes doesn't freak you out. The key thing is, doesn't really matter how much you begin. The key thing is actually that you do it, that you actually have that time. No matter what amount of time that you choose, I want to invite you to practice silence and solitude this week by doing these simple steps. Excuse me. Choose a quiet place. If you have your phone with you, put it on do not disturb. Put it away from you, out of arm's reach. Open with just silence. Just breathe. Let all the things in your mind just simply just fade away by concentrating on just taking breaths in and out, in and out. And then maybe you could pray this simple prayer. Let me know your peace, oh God. Jesus, let me feel your love. And you could repeat that prayer a couple times as you allow continuously those thoughts in your mind just to fade away and for you to focus on God. And then maybe you can step out of that and read Ephesians chapter 1. And now you can start reading it with a clear mind because you've had that silence and you've had that solitude. And you can actually hear the Father's voice speak to you, and words and phrases out of Ephesians 1 can start jumping to you off the page. And the point is not to finish the chapter. The point is not to read X amount of verses. The point is actually to hear the Father's voice speaking to you. It's for you just to listen to what he has to say. Remember, our subtitle to this year's theme is Practice in the Ways of Jesus. And it takes practice. So don't beat yourself up. You need to keep on practicing. You need to have perseverance and you need to keep on going for it to become more natural and for you to have an extended time of silence and solitude in your life. For some of you, you may actually need a day retreat away. You may need to get away from people and the city, and you may just need to get out and just have that one-on-one time with God, a full day. Some of you, you could probably just do half a day. Some of you, you may just need to start 5 minutes in this day. Practicing consistently silence and solitude will help us to slow down and to focus. And hear me say that we're all in this together, and we can all help each other through all this. As we're practicing this spiritual habit, make it a practice to actually be able to share with one another what you experience. Share with your friends. Share with those that you're in your group. If so, be post on social media that you can start the conversations in the comments. Simply just let other people know so that you can have that debriefing in your lives. Simply get to a place that you can hear what the Good Shepherd has to say to you. And here's these verses for you. For you to start hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd in your life from John 10, verses 14 to 18. I am the Good Shepherd, Jesus says. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen, but I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock, and I will be the one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I may lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The prominent and the strong voice that we need in our lives is the voice of the Good Shepherd. He is kind, he's gentle, he's loving, he is caring, he is protecting, he is patient, he is slow to anger, he is strong, he is faithful. He doesn't leave us. He does what is right always for us. He has found us and we belong to him. I want to give you one final picture of what this looks like. So I'm going to invite the band back up to get ready, but I'm also going to invite Tim, if you can come up and be my illustration in this. Can you just stand there and face out, everyone from here? The devil's far. The devil's far in our lives. And he yells at us, you aren't enough. You'll never get it done. You are always going to suffer. But Jesus whispers, you are enough. I love you. I will never abandon you. I'll never forsake you. I am always there. I'm always protecting. I'm always kind to you because I love you. The devil yells because he's far, but Jesus whispers because he's close. The devil yells at you that you aren't enough and you'll never be enough, but Jesus whispers, I am enough and I love you and I've made you and I've created you for a purpose. Thank you, Tim. So what voice are you listening to? What's going to get you out of the fog and be able to get you to a space to listen to the voice of God? God doesn't have to yell at us. He whispers because he's simply close. The good shepherd is close and he's inviting us into silence and solitude so that we can silence all the other noises and the other voices in our lives and we can simply hear his whispers of truth to us, his children. That is good news for us. That is good news for us to constantly hear and to repeat to one another. That is a better story, that we don't need to be defeated and distracted by distraction alone, but that Jesus alone is victory and that he is the way to life and that he is full of truth that we need to receive.